But okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. And so Elijah, do you want to please call the roll?
Yeah. Chairperson Vasquez?
Here.
Committee Member Lauber? Committee Member Frederick?
Deb, you're on mute, so you can. I know she's
okay,
trying
I'll mark her as
present.
Good, thank you, Deb.
Sure.
Okay. Next.
Committee Member Flanagan?
Present.
Committee Member Manning?
Here.
Committee Member Merle?
Here.
Committee Member Kwan?
Here.
Then we have a quorum. And Elijah, if you happen to see, or if I happen to see, if anybody happens to see Dan, okay. He's coming in now. Hi, Dan. Good evening.
We so just, for the record, I'm going to have Dan enter the meeting at 6:06.
Okay. That's good enough. Dan, you're present, correct, Dan? Just for the record.
I'm present. I apologize. I get two different times, one from the computer and one from all the
watch
that are set by the TV news.
Okay. No worries. We figured you were tied up somewhere, but I'm glad. Now we have a full quorum, so we just called the meeting to order. Everyone's here. Next item would be the public comment. We have not received any written comments from the public. I'm looking at our Zoom, and I do not see anybody joining in as a participant other than us. And so, Elijah, is there anybody in the Village Hall with you?
No, there's nobody present for public comment.
Okay. So then the next agenda item would be the approval of the minutes from last month. Dated April 13th, 2022. I'll entertain a motion to approve in a second.
I motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion with the minutes or modifications? Hearing none, if we can call the roll to approve the minutes.
Committee Member Lauber?
Yes, approve.
Committee Member Frederick?
Approve.
Committee Member Flanagan?
Approve.
Committee Member Manning?
Approve.
Committee Member Morrell?
Approve.
Committee Member Kwan?
Approve.
Okay.
Chairperson Vasquez.
Approved. Okay, we got everybody. Thank you. Next item would be any updates. And Lydia, do you have any updates on the dementia-friendly Vera Forest group?
I do, yes. So first of all, Celebrating Seniors Coalition, many of you are familiar with it. Celebrating Seniors Week starts tomorrow and it'll run through the 19th. So I'm gonna, I don't know if I'm allowed to put the link in the chat. I can always send it to Alicia. The calendar for events is on the website. On May 18th at 10 a.m., I'm gonna do a dementia-friendly training for businesses and organizations in River Forest. So I don't know, I didn't ask for RSVPs, so I can't tell you who's planning to attend ahead of time, but I figured it would be a nice thing to do and an easy way to get information out to businesses and organizations in River Forest. So that'll happen at the library on May 18th at 10 a.m. And I can give an update, in our next meeting, who attends and all of that. But I also, and we'll talk about it when we go through the survey, but I was struck by the question that we threw in about dementia friendly and services for people with dementia. And there seemed to be some concern from survey respondents. So I think it's just an opportunity for us to just be mindful about dementia friendly programming and information and what it means to have a dementia friendly community.
Good point, Lydia. Does anybody have any comments or questions for Lydia? Hearing none. And I don't have the age-friendly communities collaborative did not meet since our last meeting, so I don't have an update from them, which takes us right into our old business relating to our continued discussion on the cross-tabulation progress. I know at the last meeting, we briefly talked about trying to take an approach of how to target this report. I know Jim and Dan have worked on it since the last meeting. And I think you guys were gonna look at trying to categorize the questions from substantive, and I'm paraphrasing, substantive, maybe something moderate, and maybe something that's not as substantive. And trying to do that approach along those lines. But so I'm going to turn it over to both Jim and Dan in terms of, I know you both were talking to each other and working on something. So whichever one of you want to start, that's terrific.
Has anybody seen the document that Dan and I started other than, like, I know that I gave it to Lydia. Rez, have you seen the finished?
I saw the draft. I don't know if it's finished. But,
well, the blue and black draft. Right, okay, basically, yeah. That's kind of where we're at.
Correct.
So, okay. Helen, have you seen it? Barb, have you seen it? No. Dan, is there any way that you could email it to them? Or give it to Elijah, yeah. And Elijah can put it into the record and email it.
Yeah,
I could do
because
that.
Because right I now. Think it, you know, what I think that what I gathered basically from it was we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot of consensus on a lot of issues.
Okay.
There are definitely some areas that we could improve, you know, in terms of the Village of River Forest and in terms of what we're doing. It's a lot of it has to do with communication, social participation. People seem on average pretty happy. Yeah, there's definitely some issues with housing. And those are the things that we would go through. And what we had done is the criteria that we had used was kind of if Dan, I don't have the percentage breakdowns in front of me, but what we had done is we had looked at the respondents and the percentages in strongly disagree, neutral, agree. So you look at the question and you find out, based on the response, is there no concern, moderate concern, a high level of concern? That's kind of what we came up with. And so, you know, like, so questions 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 were all no concern. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Dan and I agree, no concern. There's definitely issues. If we go 12, 13, and 14, like what are those? Civic and social participation, volunteer opportunities. 12, I am satisfied with the opportunities for social involvement in River Forest. A third satisfied, a third neutral, a third unsatisfied. And Dan says too, 35% of those expressing an opinion disagreed. This could mean something. We both said moderate concern.
I was going to ask whoever's.
There we are.
Okay.
Yeah, I've sent the spreadsheet to everybody.
Okay, fabulous. Great. Thank you. Okay, so everyone has a hard copy, but I thought if we pull it up, we can all be on the same page literally.
Right.
So
this, can everybody see it okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
What you need to have kind of in order to look at it is the questions that it court you, like what is number 6?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is I have adequate internet access for my wants and needs. And it seems there that, you know, 87% of people agreed or strongly agreed they have adequate internet in River Forest. That's pretty strong, you know. So that's why we would say that's of no concern.
Can you refresh our memories in terms of how you categorize break down the categories of what would be no concern, what's low, what's moderate, if that type of thing, real brief.
Fifth, I think Dan, this is where I could use your help, because I remember I did this like right after the last meeting, and I don't have those notes with me. They're on another page, but I think it was whether the question was a positive or negative, like it said, I don't have, or so you have to look at the question, but if it was 50% or more, you know, heavily weighted one side or the other, that might be mean. Yeah. 50% said, over 50% said they had access to internet. So it was 87. That's a high level of consistency. So it was basically, they were about 20% tranches, because we had kind of low level, low to moderate, you know, low to moderate, moderate, you know, and then a high level. So, you know, it's interesting where, as a committee, I've noticed these first sets of, you know, questions 2 through 5. If we as a committee thought about how much time we've spent on those questions, it's really staggering, because we make it through other parts of this survey really quickly, but we get hung up on in our development of it. I think it's just difficult to get your arms around some of this. And so I think that's why. But so I don't know how you guys want to, if maybe we go through and we look at the questions and say, based on, you know, question, we start with question 2. You know, we're, Dan and I are both kind of no, I say no to low, Dan's low to moderate. So I think we can agree that it's somewhere between low and moderate, you know. And that is, there are enough opportunities for me to meet people in River Forest. So most people seem to think it, but it's enough on the radar to say, hey, as a committee, would this be one of our findings that we need to create more opportunities for communication, volunteerism, and connection? And that's a huge, I think that's going to be a huge theme in the future, is all going to be combating social isolation, depression, and you know, creating friend groups as we age.
Yeah, I think, if I may add something, I think that we didn't use real rigid scale as to what is low, moderate, or serious concern. And I think it also varies with the question. So for example, we had 25% of the people, I believe, roughly speaking, interested in, you know, if you had 25% of people on one side of something, usually it isn't a real big deal, but with people having an interest, say, in accessory dwelling units, we had 25% of the people interested in that. And that, I would say, is a real big deal, that you have a quarter of the people responding to the survey having an interest in those because of the nature of the issue before them. That's really extraordinarily high. I first thought, big deal, but 25% have an interest in the ADUs, that's rather substantial. And that's different, though, in some other questions. I also went and calculated, as you'll see in the blue, the percentages of those actually expressing an opinion on some things, because I thought that may give us some insight. And I noted some things could mean something. I encourage us to be careful and thoughtful in looking at this and not jump to conclusions instantly. I mean, some questions, as Jim pointed out, it's obvious. There's no issue there. It's just so overwhelming. Others, though, we have to think about it a little and think about what it means. It's not just an instant result. So I think the input of everyone on this committee will be extraordinarily valuable to help flesh these out.
Okay.
And see what they really mean.
Can I throw a question out just to
sure. Go ahead, Bart.
In question 2, you know, there are enough opportunities for me to meet people in River Forest. If you add up the neutral and the not applicable, that's about a third of the people. How do we interpret neutral and not applicable? Is that they don't care if they meet people or not? Because that's a big number, a third of the people that answer being in those categories. And I think neutral and not applicable might mean something different in each case. And when they're big numbers, What do we do with that?
I would suggest the thing that's of interest here is that 30% of those expressing opinion disagreed. So you've got a sizable proportion of people for whom this is a concern. And, you know, when we're looking at this, it's these aren't popularity contests. I think that with many of these, if you have a sizable proportion of people where there is an issue there, it's something that needs to be addressed. But it's going to vary with each question. And I understand what you're saying. I've been wondering, what does it mean having so many people neutral or saying it's not applicable?
I know. I mean, that one is a weird one because you have one fifth of the people about that saying that there aren't enough opportunities, two fifths about that saying there are, maybe three fifths, you know, two and a half fifths. And then 30% saying they don't have any answer to, they don't have an opinion on it. So does that mean that that's a category? Is this a question that we should think about or not? That's what I'm not sure how you interpret these.
Yeah, I think that when you've got 30% of the people who had an opinion on this.
Well, this one is 46. 46% agree and 20% don't.
No, I'm saying of those who had an opinion, taking out the not applicable and neutral, 30% disagreed with the statement. So while 70% of those who had an opinion agreed with the statement, you've still got 3 out of 10 who had an opinion.
Well, in that question,
I think I have different numbers than that. I'm sorry, I must be looking at different numbers.
When I read question two, I see neutral as neither agree nor disagree. That's how I interpret neutral on that.
And does that mean that they really don't care one way or another if they meet people here or not?
Right.
I think so. Yeah.
So if you take the people that don't care plus those that agree, you there's your weight, which is why I said no to low. However, there is a theme, as Dan points out, in certain elements of this where, you know, the highlights that I would say that, you know, the takeaways are that, you know, the village is doing a really good job in a lot of areas in terms of public works, this, blah, blah, blah. But intergovernment communications to the public, things of that nature, we need to work on. And then let me just kind of say this, because I've been on our senior services committee for like probably 14 years now or something like that. And it's a topic that's come up under both directors, under both township supervisors. And it is the fact that people will drive past the physical location, they'll be stuck in traffic behind the bus, they'll get the newsletter from the township, the letter from the village, the stuff is in it, and the basic people claim that they had no idea that it even existed.
I think so one of the...
We could print all the brochures we want and spend all the time in the world, but the answer, kind of the psychology behind it, is that we don't seek out mental health services, senior services or youth services unless we really need them.
Yep.
Then people will pay attention. So that being said, like throwing resource at that is not going to change that psychological propensity for when people gather that info. And I think that's...
I think your breakdown by age really showed that well too. It did.
Mm-hmm. So, like one little thing that I learned being on that committee for so long is like, this is one of these nebulous product problems that we can never, no matter how many days in our village, how many outreach meetings, it's the reality of it. Like people don't care about it. And we associate aging with death and nobody wants to face it. So we'll just push it away. And I don't need to know about that. Got a lot on my plate.
Yeah, I completely agree with Jim, but I think that, and this may not be the stage at which to discuss approaches, but I think with that sort of a thing, it's the sort of thing where the village might be very prudent to once a year, or the township once a year, send a postcard to everybody reminding them that these are available. Because I know know, with the issues that we're having right now with my sister-in-law, who's deep in the throes of Alzheimer's and is in deep trouble. There's a wealth of resources out there, but you don't go searching for them until you need them. And Jim's absolutely right, but there's got to be some mechanism. And again, this is something to discuss later in some depth before we write a report, making recommendations to alert people as to where to get the information when they do need it eventually. Maybe it should be in every issue of the Village newsletter, but I don't know how widely that's distributed, how widely that's seen. But maybe a postcard once a year reminding people you can get these services are available. Keep this postcard. I don't know. That's something, you know, for us to discuss and brainstorm on later on.
Yeah, we can, in addition to what the Village can do, but also coordinating with both townships, because I know they have communications going out. The same thing with the library regarding their programs. I think it's that type of theme that we all work together to try to get the word out. And I'm not saying in addition to all, but just having some accessibility out there with something we already do. And the Village newsletter goes out. I mean, we've been delivering hard copies to the condominiums now. Even in the last meeting, one of the presidents who is at one of the condominiums thought it was a great idea, and they're taking, you know, so we're trying to do that too, reaching out electronically is the best, of course, but we're also trying to get hard copies to the condominium buildings and where it appears that there are more seniors in those type of buildings for now, but mm-hmm. I'm not saying only, but there's a good group of seniors in those buildings. So,
and we should keep in mind while we, you know, no. fully agreeing with Jim that, you know, electronic communication is the future. Sure. I think just the fact that I think was it 3/4 of the people who responded to the survey did the paper survey. That suggests while they may say they're comfortable using their phone or their computer, they're not really as comfortable as they say. Because they, by their action, they use the analog way instead of the digital way to respond to the survey. And I know lots of people building computers on the side. I know I've just encountered tons of people who say, I really know how to use a computer. I'm really good at it. And they've never heard of a file manager. Or they use tabs to center a line instead of just doing control E. I mean, it's people have more confidence, will say they've got more competence with technology than they really do in general, I think. Just think of all the people who don't use a password manager who are putting themselves at risk. So it's anyway, I think Jim's got the right approach here. We got to look at each of these individually, and the percentages may, you know, there may be something where we have a moderate percentage of people where there's a problem, where it's not really a big issue, but there's others where we may have a moderate percentage of people with a problem and it is an issue that we need to address. So it's going to vary by the question and the issue.
Let me ask this question as a question. In terms of, should we look at, for example, the easy ones, for example, and by that I mean like number 6, that's no concern. It sounds like the both of you don't have concerns with number 6. And this is for now the full committee. Does the full committee want to go through each one of these? Or do we want to just say, it looks like number 6 is no concern. Do we all agree? And no, that's not going to be on the table, at least for us to deal with. And I mean that in a positive way. I'm trying to get us to see, are there certain things we can knock out today and try to whittle down some of the questions and then talk about how we're going to deal with them. That's what I'm eventually asking.
Rez, you keep fading in and out.
Oh, I apologize.
We can't hear everything you're saying.
Okay, I'm getting closer to my computer. So here, what I was asking and slightly suggested For example, number six has no concern from both you, Dan, and you, Jim. And what I'm asking the committee is, for example, on number six, do we all want to go through each of these items when both have said no concerns? Or is the committee comfortable saying, okay, it looks like number six, we don't have to deal with it? And I'm not pushing, I'm asking. Because I'm trying to see if we can get to what appear to be the easier ones and trying to minimize the ones we have to deal with. So I'm just talking about an approach right now. That's all.
I think it's a good approach. I think at the same time, you know, no concern is still a finding, meaning that it could be in our findings, we could say, you know, here are issues that, you know, we reported as, you know, as not being, this is not a concern, this is not a concern. And that could be part of the report.
I agree with that, Jim. And thank you for pointing that out. What I meant more for today was, do we need to address it as a group on how?
And I think it's a good approach. I think our time is best spent where there's some confusion. But if there's, you know, maybe people take some time and can confirm the no concerns, or, you know, like we say on 12, moderate concern, we're in agreement. So maybe we don't need to really talk about those tonight.
Correct.
We could have some time and just talk about the ones that are at issue.
Sure. Okay. And then I'm comfortable with that if everybody else is comfortable with that. And then, so the next step is, do we want to go through number two, you want to go through the ones that have some issue and then talk about how to address them?
Or could I suggest that we work actually backwards?
Okay.
Because I think we'll make some progress, because Dan's comments about kind of how we're reporting, because the last five questions are demographic related.
Okay.
And so that's going to kind of be in the descriptive analysis.
Okay.
You know, and then, so we're at question then 51.
Okay. Okay. And Jim, I'm trying to, Elijah, are you sharing or is Jim sharing? I'm trying to figure out which, so that we can move to the question.
Elijah is.
Okay.
Elijah, I'm the one who's sharing.
Okay. Elijah, can you move us down? Jim referred to question number 51. Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, yeah.
I would consider living in an in-law suite, granny flat, accessory dwelling unit, or a freestanding small dwelling unit. And so...
And not to cause a debate, that's not what I mean. Jim, obviously you ordered it, you rated it differently. So I'm going to ask you first. You went from low to no concern, and I'm going to ask Dan, he rated it moderate to high concern, and ask you, you both, what's your perspective on that? So that we can then discuss it as a committee.
Sure. I think, I see almost 43% saying disagree or strongly disagree. And so our criteria was in the 20 to 30 range.
Okay.
But Dan makes a good point that, you know, if you go to the agree and strongly agree, that's almost 25%. And that's enough interest in such a new topic to say that maybe it is significant.
Okay.
I mean, so like, again, like Dan said, we had some loose rules, but we've both tried to kind of be really flexible and interpret what this might mean, and okay, and err on the side of the caution, like include it, and, you know, include it. And so I would say, you know, for 51, I would be willing to go to like to moderate, you know, a moderate, you know, level of concern, something that's probably going to gain in popularity as time goes on, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, actually 49 through 51 should be taken together, because they're really all addressing this issue, and you've got a range of 23 or 24% have an interest in this. And again, this is different than all the other questions. This is asking
you can hold on a minute. Elijah, can you show 49 through 51? So, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dan. I just figured you're
no problem.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
So they're all, you know, it's different than the other questions. And as a city planner, I can tell you, if you've got 20, you know, close to a quarter of the people interested in a new form of housing that, you know, it's in its infancy really around here. That's a pretty significant interest. I mean, there's no way on earth you would expect even half the people to be interested in doing that, but 25%. So my point is that this is something that's worth it for us to pursue in our recommendations. I think we should be describing this as a substantial proportion of people with an interest in this, which, you know, it'll fade away when people find out the minimum cost of doing this is $100,000. If you want to do it over a garage, you're going to be cost you at least $270,000. But this is a potential tool to go in the toolbox of the village to enable seniors to age in place and in community. So it's worth pursuing it to the village board level in this particular instance.
I agree with that.
Okay. So how do we, I'm asking the rest of the committee members, do we all agree on this, that the village should be pursuing? And I don't see everybody, but so if you want to speak now, if you disagree that the village should not pursue it. Okay, so it sounds like we will. Now that we have, we all seem to agree on that, how do we propose for now that do we acknowledge these three items and for the record, how are we doing this so that we know this is something the village should pursue? Do we just know by the rating?
Well, I'm making notes. I mean, I'll make notes as we go and then I can add to the spreadsheet and
perfect.
Then redistribute
it. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, so that's 49 through 51, unless Jim or Dan, you have something more. We can go down, or we can go now to 48.
Can I just add one thing to the modified
proposals? Sure. Absolutely.
Because I really like the breakdown that you guys did with the ages. And so I'm looking at it by age about whether you modify your house. And it's real interesting because all ages seem to be a third of the people are in the neutral and not applicable. But there's a tipping point at age 65 to 74. Where all of a sudden you get more people who are starting to agree, which I think is really interesting. And it goes to like what you had said, Jim, that's the as needed kind of time, you know?
Right.
So I think breaking down by age in terms of the report would be a really good one in this particular question.
Okay. What number was that, Barb?
That was 52. Question 52. Okay. About whether you would create a separate... Oh, that's modifying your property, create a separate living space for a caregiver.
Okay, yeah, by these, even 49, 50, and 51, you could all look at by age.
Yeah, and I think that makes a difference.
Okay.
Barbara, at that point, 49 through 51, do you notice the same thing, meaning that the group of 60 years old and above are the ones who are really interested?
65, well,
okay.
65. I mean, you still have more people not interested, but it's not as big of a gap between it when you get to that age.
Okay.
Yeah. And my point is that the you would expect most people not to be interested. But honestly, with this particular type of question, the fact that we've got close to 25% interested is to me amazing. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be a big supporter of ADUs. I think it's a very minor tool, but hell, when 25% of the people are interested in this, I think it's something that simply can't be ignored. It's got to be pursued.
Okay.
Well, and I mean, yeah, I mean, even, you know, just in terms of, well, in the future, will there be subsidies for that if it becomes that popular? It's a policy thing too.
Should we then continue 48? 48. Elijah, can you bring us to 48? Okay. Oh.
Well, before you go there, don't forget. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. 48 is the next one. I'm sorry. Okay. It shows a pretty clear interest in aging in River Forest.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, obviously.
Yep.
Good. So, okay.
Well, so we're in agreement on 48. We're in agreement on 47, 46.
Elijah, can you move up as we're... Okay.
Okay. Give us more, Elijah.
You said to 46, correct?
Okay. So we're in agreement till 43. Elijah, you can slide us up.
It's very, I think it's also important to note in 44, you've got an overwhelming percentage of people who say their home is large enough to have another person live with them. And I think that will relate to the ADUs as well.
That's 45.
45, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't live really in a two bedroom home community, do we?
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, I mean, that is a real positive that's built into the housing stock. It might not be accessible, but if the bedrooms are there.
Yeah, I got a breakdown from somewhere of the number of houses in River Forest by number of bedrooms that I could send to the Elijah to distribute if you want.
I'm sorry, Dan. Can you repeat that? You cut off.
Oh, I've got a breakdown of the number of houses by number of bedrooms in River Forest that I could. Send to you to distribute to the committee that will, I suspect, come in handy as we get down to the nuts and bolts of this as we go along. I think I also have a number breakdown of the cost of housing in River Forest as well, possibly by number of bedrooms. This is stuff we did I think 2 years ago. Might be helpful for our discussions, might be informative. So if you'd like it, committee members, I'll send it to Elijah and he can distribute it to the committee.
That would be fine, Dan. Okay. We're now up to 42.
I can easily meet my monthly housing costs, including property tax. And I had said no concern because we've got 67% saying agree or strongly agree. And, you know, by every standard that we've used, that would be of no concern.
And the reason I suggested you need to brainstorm this clearly is a problem for 1/5 of the people who expressed an opinion. And by the nature of the question, you know, this is why I wanted to include, annual income and housing costs so we could calculate for ourselves the 30%, whether or not people are spending more than 30% of their income on housing. The data, I can't find in the American Community Survey. If somebody else can find it, I'd be thrilled.
Call from Pam
Unif. Sorry, my phone talks to me. I think this is something that should be brought to the attention of the village board because it's not something, I don't think it's something that should be ignored because 20% of those who did express an opinion, they've got a problem.
Can I propose something? Is it possible for us to do a cross tab with this one and see what else these people also said? And whether there's any pattern across this 17% of the people and answers to other things, because then we're dealing with some kind of a group that has a certain need if we do see patterns.
It's a good idea.
What would you cross-tab it against?
probably some of the other questions that you have, you know, that you did with age, but I'm not sure, you know, if it's easy to do it with a lot of them, I just wanted to cross and see where their patterns are.
We might want to cross tab it with those having an interest in an ADU, because there might be a pattern there where people who are having a difficult time meeting their housing costs, maybe the ones that are overwhelmingly that are interested in ADU.
Maybe some of them are the ones that already use the social services too. So, you know, I just, if there's a pattern of need, it would be really interesting to see.
Absolutely.
Especially when you flag this one as one we should talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody on our committee who's be able to do that type of cross tabulation, so to speak?
Well, I've done 30 of them in there, and you know, okay. I guess I look at this and I say, you know, yeah, we could do that. It'd be nice to know exactly from 42. You got to tell me exactly the questions, the number of questions that are relevant to that to cross tab it too, and I'll do that cross tab. But to just go and say, hey, do a bunch of these. They're in there. There's 25 of them in there. Say, you know, and people can look at them. I don't know that anybody's looked at them. Barb, it sounds like you have.
I have.
You know, so, but I don't think a lot of other people have, and that work's all done.
I mean, I can go through this, Jim, and send you, you know, a list of questions. I can't do it off the top of my head right
now.
Yeah, no, I send you a list. I will. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
I would suggest you might want to be sure to cross tab it with either 50 or 51. I don't think there's a need to do it with both. Those are about ADU.
Okay.
Since you're going to look at it, Barb, can you send your comments over to Jim? Do you want to collect them or?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
But I would also, Barb, I would also copy Elijah.
So okay.
Have a record of what's being said. Okay.
Sure.
And that way Jim can look at them and do the cross tabulations. The other thing I was going to suggest, and not to exclude what Barbara is suggesting, is that going back to where Dan was saying, is that even if we were to label this number, even if we were to label this one as a no concern, we could, food for thought, if there's some of these that we think we would like something to be noted, like what I think Dan is saying, we could create a column for to be noted type of thing and then put in the comment that we want to be noted. And it could be not just for 42, if there's something else that we think that whether it was a high concern or something special that we wanted noted because of that particular question and the results, we could do something like that if it's helpful. Just food for thought. Okay. Are we okay for now at 42, or do we still need to decide? Otherwise, let's move up. Elijah, can you move it up?
Down.
No, I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right. I mean, for me to see up, right? Next time we're going to use the question.
How about 35 through 41, Elijah?
Thank you.
That's perfect.
Okay. So I'm just looking, 34 through 38 seems to be no concern, and I don't see any notes on the side. So looks like, and does everybody, I'm assuming that unless there's an objection or something to be noted, we're all in agreement with that. I do want to look at 39. No concern, but then it started only 6 of 191 responses. What was 39, Elijah?
I need assistance to get from my home to my ride. And now the 6, only 6% need help getting from their home to their ride. Because that was 1.5% strongly agree, 1.5% agree, and 3% neither agreed or disagreed. So 6%. That's what that means. That's what that is about.
Okay.
Only 191 people thought it was important to get assistance from the house to the ride.
Okay.
40, I'm aware of the transportation services that River Forest Township provides.
And that's just what Jim was talking about before, people. Okay. Until you need it, you don't know about it.
And that's why I said it was moderate, because, you know, for, what is it, 52% or so say disagree, strongly or disagree that they're aware of. You know, they're not, people aren't aware. So again, we talked about this earlier, that would be one of our recommendations, is that, you know, intergovernment communications need to improve, right, to continually pound on people if these services are there. You know, so...
Forty-one is no concerns on either one. Okay.
Right.
Does any committee member have any comments or questions from 31 to, or I'm sorry, 34 through 41? If not, then Elijah, let's go to 32 and above 32.
Rez, did you say let's go to 33 and 34?
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're right. I meant 33. And you know what, Elijah, can you show 33 at the very bottom where 42 is currently at?
Rez, your mic cut off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was suggesting, Elijah, I was asking if you can move 33, line 33, to the very bottom of the screen where you can see 33, but it's at the bottom.
No, just slide us down.
Okay, so you want me to move cell 33 to the bottom?
Just slide us down so we can see, read 33 through 25. I guess I'm just trying to get at, there we go. Okay.
Oh, high concern.
Well, we need to
slide up two questions.
Elijah, 33 at the bottom. So we can see 33. Okay, perfect.
There we go.
Okay, all right. Okay, so 33 is no concern. Okay.
33, street lights in River Forest are bright enough for me to drive safely at night. Yeah. And I had 67%, almost 71 saying agree, strongly agree, or not applicable. So 4%, almost 5% strongly disagreed, and 13.2 disagree. So that was below that, way below the 20% threshold. So I said it was of, you know, 33, I said no concern.
The reason I'm concerned about this is, of those who expressed opinion, 1 in 5 disagreed, but compounding it is all the planning literature I've read on this, including that planning advisory service report that goes into this in quite a bit of depth, raises concerns over the street lighting and say it's one of the biggest problems. And let's not kid ourselves. Our street lighting in River Forest absolutely sucks, if I may use the professional technical term.
I agree. It's
terrible. And it's extremely dangerous for people riding bikes who
absolutely,
for some reason, don't want to have lights on. I don't know why.
I think this is another one that, you know, where you had done the breakdown by age.
Right.
Looking at the 65 to 74 year olds, a third of them either strongly disagree or disagree.
Good idea. Break it down by age. Good idea.
He did.
Oh, okay.
Actually, when I read that, I wondered if some of these people drive at night, because I think it's poor lighting.
Yeah, that would be probably among the not applicable or neutral people, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But
And I'll admit there's been some great nights where you've got the moonlight and you can actually see, but it's really risky. I'm astounded we don't have more accidents, especially at the intersections. So, you know, it's something, you know, the age breakdown may give us more insight and something, you know, I don't think we should just dismiss.
Well, I think 32 and 33, if you take them together, we're all pretty much as a committee in agreement that street lighting in River Forest could be better, and it's something that should be included in our report. I don't think we need to study it by anything other than saying it's pretty clear that it's something that we could work on.
Right.
Fair enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we have 32 low priority.
32 and 33 together. Street
oh, okay. Okay. Good. Okay. And is 31 related or?
Enough places for me to sit and rest throughout River Forest.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Moderate to high, okay. You know, so there's something that, you know, village really could have an impact in that place. And, you know, if that's something that we could do, that's actionable.
Right.
And we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
30, it looks like we're in agreement on that, looks like.
Yeah, we're in agreement on 30, 29.
80% agree, meaning there's no concern?
On 29, the sidewalks in my neighborhood are safe for me to use. 80% of people say, yeah, they're safe to use. They must not walk on the sidewalks much.
I guess not. Wow.
Yeah, whenever I've tried to run in this town, it's in the street. It's not on the sidewalk.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, again, that's interesting. You know, maybe something to call out, but you know, that's the agreement on it.
28. Okay.
28 is the businesses in River Forest are accessible with a wheeled walker or wheelchair. And Dan's comment was, my suspicion is these folks are quite ambulatory, really haven't given this much thought, so it doesn't affect them.
Likely could use a random survey.
Yeah, so it might be, we could even get it on the moderate level where it's something that I think it falls in line with. We were thinking about doing a, you know, encouraging businesses. It's like, you've got to eliminate any steps. You want the easy entry. Your building should have an awning to protect people from the elements. It has to be well lit. Signage has to be a certain size. Put all this criteria together and say, hey, you know, Dan Lobner's company gets a, you know, an A for these things. And, you know, and then I'm a dentist in town and I didn't realize that all I need to do is, you know, have this or these two things done and I would be much more accessible to my clients. I just didn't know. So I think that's something that's going to be coming. I know in Celebrating Seniors, we're working on something like that. So
I have a question about this one. Is this something that's like the ARP age friendly certification has, is there like a quantifiable thing like X number of businesses pass this kind of thing? Is this like above and beyond just a kind of self-report thing? Is this something that has a threshold that, or, you know, a number you put on it that actually makes you age friendly or not?
There's no credential that I know of that, you know, like Lydia has a criteria that she used. If you go through this training and you do certain things, you could be a dementia friendly business. So they've established that criteria. They have a protocol and then they manage it. The Village of River Forest, the Senior Services Committee, or some senior organization would have to come up with criteria, and then in a way the manpower to go out and help people understand it, do the on-site analysis.
Under the impression because ARP rates cities and it has an index and it's got measures for these kinds of things. You know, they've threw tons of staff people on measuring these kinds of things, and that's how they come up with their ratings every year. So I just wondered if this is one of those, because I think accessibility and businesses is part of that ARP friendly certification.
Yeah, the only problem with that, to be quite honest with you, Barb, is that, you know, the city of Chicago signed an intent. They said, we will do these things, we think, in the next 10 or 15 years. And they were granted age-friendly status because of what they said they might do in the future. So they're, in a way, very misleading, because in a lot of these places, their commitments, they're trying to get people on board, but there's no individual analysis of the accessibility of dry cleaners in Chicago. Do you know what I mean? Like, they haven't drilled down to that. There's no resources for that.
So, Jim, in other words, there's no verification?
I'm sorry?
In other words, there is no verification.
Not that I know of. Yeah. Lydia, do you know of any?
There are guidelines and best practices, but I don't know that they're an age-friendly or an age-friendly business certification through ARP. But I just was looking. It looks like some cities, Cleveland is an example, where they created their own age-friendly business certification program through the Cleveland Department on Aging and the Better Business Bureau using the ARP guidelines. So there's nothing preventing us from putting some guidelines or some rubrics together for businesses in the village as a product of our report.
I learned a little bit about this a couple of years ago when a restaurant here became a client. I won't name it, but it's somewhere between a Shell station and a KSC tire shop. And there was an attempt to extort them for being inaccessible. And there are scam artists out there that are doing this all over the country. They're looking largely for Mexican restaurants, in the hope that they have an owner that is not a documented, is not here under conventional circumstances. And they try to extort thousands of dollars out of them not to file an ADA complaint. This particular restaurant, the owner was terrified, and she did what had to be done to comply with the ADA at a considerable cost. But I did learn a lot of places don't have to become wheelchair accessible because of their structure. And it's a case by case thing that's, you really can only find out by looking at each place. And there are consultants out there. We hired one of them that evaluate places for accessibility and compliance with the ADA. And that's the sort of people you would want to use to, if you wanted to do a survey or a random sample, that's the sort of person you'd have look. I mean, within 5 minutes, they would, or less, they'd know if it's wheelchair accessible. So it might be something to recommend to the village. I just don't know.
Looks like Evanston is doing a really great job of it. And they have a whole entire checklist criteria online. I just put the link in the chat. So they were really great about, Evanston was really great about modeling dementia-friendly programming. So I would imagine that they would be willing to share and brainstorm with us if we decided to reach out to them.
Hmm. Nice. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. What number are we on, Russ?
We are now moving over to 27, which looks like we're clearly
dementia friendly. 27 yes. Is it's important for VBD that Route 4 is supportive of dementia friendly. So we're in agreement on that one. Overwhelming majority of favors being dementia supportive.
Okay.
26.
I use services for older adults.
I think this goes back to the discussion we were having earlier about using services, knowing about services. You know, like people, I don't think want to know or need to know until they have to know.
Well, and we don't want 80% of people responding to be using the services. You know what I mean? You know, like the number here isn't supposed to be high. because this is saying I use services for older adults in River Forest. So I might know about them and I might be one, but just because I'm not using them doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a tough question to, it tells us who is, you know, that there are 5% of that population is, mm-hmm. which is about, I think, an average. I mean, again, it's usually not 20% of your senior population. You know, it's this trailing 5 to 10% that's mm-hmm. constantly going into that place and then expiring, and then more people come in and fill. So, but I'll cross tab it by age.
Okay.
Just so mm-hmm. we have, you know, so we can look at it. Okay. If that makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Elijah, can you show 25, question 25, and then keep
going, Elijah, please.
Keep going, Elijah. So 25 is at the bottom. There, perfect. Oh, okay. Okay. 25 is okay. Moderate to high concern.
I know how to access services for older adults in River Forest. You know, so I'm saying moderate to high. Dan is saying high. You know, I'd be willing to say that it's high.
Okay.
Well, again, it's getting back to what Jim identified earlier, and what I think we all pretty much agree on. It's people don't know about these things till they need them.
Right.
So it's all, to me, this is all pointing to a need to make people aware of where they can find the information when they need it.
Okay.
And that's, you know, later on could be, you know, really brainstorm that and ways of communicating so that people will, because they're not going to know what the services are or and such, but as long as they know where they can find them when they eventually need them, the village is doing, and township are doing their job in that respect.
And then 24 is in the similar category.
Yeah, it's, I know what services for older adults are available in River Forest. So, you know, again, you put that in the same high
right
category. Okay. How to access that, I know what's available.
Okay. And then 23 is
no social right. services in River Forest meet my needs. Okay. There was a really high neutral and not applicable. That was, you know, almost 60% of the respondents. So neither disagree or agree. I don't use any of these, so I neither can agree or disagree, or it doesn't apply to me because I don't use them. So, you know, again, I thought for that's why I said for 23 of no concern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think it's worth cross tabulating with the age group on this one?
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, I think, you know, with these sorts of questions, what we're looking at is making sure people are aware of the safety net, use an overused term from the politicians. But there, you know, we do have these safety net services available. But again, as you know, we've all been saying, people don't look for them until they need them.
Right.
Now, I mean, is Lydia, in your experience, do people do a lot of planning ahead for when they need these services, or is it really when they need them?
We tend to be, when it comes to some of these social services, there's usually some sort of qualifying event where people need to, you know, need access to Meals on Wheels, or they, you know, I mean, some of the more social based, like congregate meals or some of the like social connectivity stuff might be a little bit different, but I think we tend to be pretty crisis oriented. And when we don't go looking for social services until we have an event where we need them. You know, either a health shock or a fall or something like that, where you really have to reevaluate what it means to stay in your home. I mean, I think Joan can speak to it too. I think with aging, it's challenging because you are inviting people to think about things that sometimes aren't fun. And that's not always, you know, I don't know how many people are leisurely perusing you know, caregiver support groups if they don't yet need one.
No, I fully understand we should be putting our everything we own into a living trust and such, but we don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's hard stuff. It requires people to dig deep, and I think do an inventory of who they are and what they're about and what the future might look like. And that sometimes that's not always on top of everybody's priority list.
Yeah. So we operate like governments operate. We do things only in a crisis.
What is wonderful about our communities is that when people do realize they need something, it doesn't take much digging to figure out that we have these services in place. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes time to know about them, I have found that people, once they need to figure it out, they realize what a wealth of supports we do have.
So essentially, this is pointing more and more in the direction of we need to make it through intergovernmental cooperation, in part, really easy to find the information when that crisis occurs.
Mm-hmm. Do people reach out to the village hall when a crisis occurs? What do they do? What does somebody?
They will. They'll sometimes call village hall.
Yeah.
They'll then get directed to township senior services. They might actually call the township office, like Carla Sloan, somebody in that
right.
direction.
Okay.
Or end up calling directly. Usually people in River Forest won't call over to Oak Park right away.
Right.
They figure it out through other people that's where we contract our services through.
Gotcha.
And that's true. Or another resource is the library, because they classes they have there. So they reach out to them and then they'll make a reference over to the township.
Gotcha.
And I know both the township, meaning Oak Park River Forest, they communicate pretty much like sister agencies. So they work together. So
I was going to add that what Dan was saying earlier about not being prepared, despite obviously someone who knows a lot about this, is that it really goes across socioeconomic, you know, the whole people that are not prepared for this, whether you're, you know, on one end of the spectrum or on the other. It's just something that despite everything that we read about, you know, well-educated, et cetera, when the event occurs, the vast majority of people are not prepared.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's true.
He's very busy.
Okay. Now we're on, is it 2221?
22.
22.
I prefer to get printed information from the village of River Forest via U.S. mail. You know, when I said digital is the future, it's the future. It's not the present. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand this. I've been straddling all these different age cohorts and the communications that we have. And, you know, we have a no email list, and we have a printed must receive everything in printed and writing via the mail. There's still that out there. And so I think the need, like Dan was saying earlier, to continue to, you know, and Rez, you said this is known,
right?
So, you know, like 20, 21 and 22 kind of go together. That while we know it's the future, we're straddling it, we have to make it easier for people to find it and create more opportunities, you know. Okay. For it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You guys agree?
Right. Okay.
I think we're going to have some very interesting brainstorming sessions on this. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Should we go to 19, Elijah, and bring 19 to the bottom, I guess. And then, okay. It looks like 16.
That's fine.
Yeah.
No concern. Yep.
Right. Okay. So really takes us to 15. And it is 15 and 14 related?
I'm satisfied. 14, I'm satisfied with volunteer opportunities available to me in River Forest. 15, I feel like a valued member of the River Forest community.
Okay.
So looking at 15, I said moderate. That's the feel valued. And Dan said low to no. you know, I wouldn't, you know, they're, yeah, I mean, it's not an issue. And again, how do we make people feel more valued? It's not really actionable other than creating opportunities for inclusion and volunteerism and those things, you know, which we've kind of talked about. So,
okay. And 13 is about, okay.
13, I'm satisfied with the opportunities for civic involvement in River Forest. We're both at kind of at moderate. And, okay. And that goes right to our thought about creating more opportunities. And
okay.
Do you guys remember the volunteer center that used to be on Oak Park Avenue?
No.
No, it's been gone since 2008. I know it's a long time, but
yeah, no.
That's when I learned out. I learned that there really the volunteer center was funded through some program to hook veterans up with certain opportunities. So they said, "Oh yeah, people call here all the time wanting to volunteer and looking for volunteer opportunities. That's not what we do." And I found it out in the flood of 08 when I was trying to find volunteers for sandbagging and remediation. And so we actually started a volunteer exchange, an online exchange. We didn't pursue it, but had an idea to, you know, create some sort of online portal for people to volunteer if they wanted. So, you know, it's something that we definitely need to continue to work on. And I think it's included with that we talked about before.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Is it fair to say that 13 and 15 seem to be related? Then, no?
Well, one's satisfied with opportunities for involvement, and 15 is the valued member of the community.
Okay.
13 and 14 are related.
Okay.
Yeah, 13 and 14 are.
Okay.
You know, and again, we're kind of all at moderate on those.
Sure. Okay.
You know, and then 11 through 6, we seem to be in agreement.
Okay.
See how this going backwards is working?
Yeah. And 12, it looked like you're in agreement and moderate.
Moderate, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that brings us to 5.
Okay. Elijah, can you show 5 to 2? There we go. Okay.
So maybe we could say on question 2 that we could agree that it's a low to fairly moderate concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And then 3, we're in agreement. Four is, it's easy for me to learn about social events in River Forest. You know, and here we've got 50% saying agree strongly, and 23 saying doesn't apply to me. You know, like neutral.
Okay.
So, but 20% do disagree. So I think that again then lends itself to communication. It's all about communication, right? So maybe I'll make a note about that. About
okay,
you know, it's tied into communication.
Okay. All right.
And we'd say it's low concern.
Okay.
But not no.
Okay. Okay.
And then 5.
5.
I find the range of events and activities offered throughout River Forest is sufficiently varied.
Okay. Looks like you both
agree. And we're actually both in agreement on it, low to moderate. It's just we say it differently.
Yeah.
So we're in agreement on that one. It is low to moderate.
Okay.
Okay. And there's an age-friendly survey.
There we go.
That's fantastic.
But you might make a note of it because of the percentage of those.
Yeah.
That disagree. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Do any other committee members have questions or comments so far? No, then, I mean, so I know Jim has been taking copious notes. Mm-hmm. And so, Jim, are you going to, not to put you on the spot, are you going to take another shot?
Yeah, I'll take a swipe at the spreadsheet, add this stuff in there. Okay. And then I'll give it to you and Elijah and let Elijah circulate it out.
Okay.
To everybody.
And that's fine. And I know, Barbara, for example, you said you were going to give us some comments as well. And so please do that.
I'll mail those. I'll send those to Jim.
Terrific. Okay, and copy Elijah.
And copy Elijah. Yeah.
Terrific.
Are we going to do anything with what people wrote in and comments?
Good question. And Jim or Dan or any other committee member have any thoughts on that?
Is there some way to get the notes into a Word document?
Yeah.
That maybe we could look at? Because I didn't spend a lot of time with them. I've been deep into this.
I took a look at the comments. I didn't see any patterns, but I'd be thrilled if somebody else would take a careful look as well, because I could have missed the pattern because I didn't look all that closely.
Okay.
I'm happy to code them. Like I could, you know, do a qualitative, just a thematic coding, as long as I can pull them out of SurveyMonkey into a Word doc or something.
Okay.
Yeah, if the SurveyMonkey is a PDF, you can you know, take the PDF, get rid of the rest of it, and Acrobat will let you convert it into a Word doc.
And just out of curiosity, oh, that's right. Because it's not an Excel spreadsheet, right? And I'm asking Elijah. Elijah.
Yeah, it is.
It is? Okay, so maybe we could pull it out that way as well, Elijah, and because then there's text right there, and it might be easier to work with that. I'm asking Lydia if it would be, because then.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I can put it into a coding software program and just
code
it.
Okay. So Elijah, can you, if you haven't done that, can you download the SurveyMonkey, particularly the comments?
Yeah.
Rez, I think we all have that Excel.
Oh, we already have it. Great.
We all have it.
Okay. All right. Then Elijah, then if you can send that as a courtesy to Lydia.
Rez, your mic briefly.
I'm sorry. I'm saying as a courtesy, can you resend that Excel spreadsheet that contains the comments to Lydia?
Yes, I can do that. Okay. I can do that by the end of tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, Rez, we're going to duct tape you to your microphone so we don't lose you.
Yeah, you know what? Just everybody don't take it personally. I'm not trying to kiss all of you, but I am getting closer to the monitor. So, yeah, I'm going to switch a computer the next time. So I'm not sure what the issue is with this laptop, other than it's getting maybe out of date or something. But I'll switch it to a new different laptop the next time. So thank you. All right. And any other comments or questions before we leave, our suggestions too?
I just like to say I think we're making progress, and I really appreciate all the thought everyone's putting into this. I really appreciate what Jim's put into this.
Yeah, I do want to thank all of you, especially you and Jim, Dan, and eventually Lydia too, and Barbara too, because I know you helped with the some of the survey comments earlier. So thank you for the extra effort in that.
I thought that the work you know, Dan and Jim did today just like moved us forward so well.
Yeah.
That was great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, good. If there's nothing more, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Wait, go ahead.
I was hoping I could have brought this up earlier.
Okay.
There's a housing forum on aging in our communities, housing accessibility, affordability, and possibility, sponsored in part by the Township of River Forest.
Oh, okay.
It's at Concordia University this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Doors open at 8:30. The pitch is, here are a variety of ways to remain in your community as you age and ways to make your home more accessible. Learn about missing middle housing and other creative housing options and engage in identifying meaningful action steps. So they're going to have a number of speakers, including the wonderful Gail, and I'm blanking on her last name, from home, Schechter, Gail Schechter, who used to be with Open Communities in the North Shore, and she's head of HOME, which is this organization that provides assistance to people to stay in their homes. She's one of the speakers. There's going to be a speaker there on accessory dwelling units, and maybe, I think, a speaker on shared housing, and it's going to, after the speakers, it's going to break into table discussions over lunch, and with a facilitator and expert at each table, and then everyone getting back together, reporting together on what's happening. Proof of vaccination will be required, and masks are extremely highly recommended. And given that most of the people there are going to be a little older, my guess is people are going to be wearing masks. It's at I'll send an email to everyone with the information on it, so you can register in advance if you want to.
It's also part of Celebrating Seniors Week. And so the link that I sent earlier, it's on that calendar.
Oh, great.
With the links to click through for registration.
Okay. And I realize everyone's got lots of competing things to do that day, including marching downtown in light of the leak from the Supreme Court. I think there's at least two different marches tomorrow, Saturday. There will be additional marches on all this. So this is a good opportunity to learn about this, especially the missing middle housing, which is, I think, a critical issue that we've got to deal with here if we're going to enable people to remain here and enter the village. So
great,
we're not talking subsidized housing. We're talking basically affordable housing that enables people to move up as their incomes increase.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dan. And if you want to send us an email, that's fine. But also for Lydia, thank you. She did send us a link to the Seniors Week so we can look at either one. So that's terrific. Okay. Are there any other announcements and or business items
to adjourn?
Okay. I have one motion to adjourn from Jim. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, from Barb, seconded. Okay. Elijah, you want to call the roll, please?
Chairperson Vasquez?
Yes.
Committee Member Lauber?
Yes.
Committee Member Frederick.
Yes.
Committee Member Flanagan.
Yes.
Committee Member Manning.
Yes.
Committee Member Merle.
Yes.
Committee Member Kwan.
Yes.
Hey, thank you all. And our next meeting is June 8th.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.